Welcome, everybody, to the second practice building teleclass. We've got a lot to accomplish. We've got 40 or 45 people on the call, we've got a lot going on. I'm going to explain some ground rules and some updates and some announcements.
Hello.
We're going to get right into things. For those that are just joining, you do not need to introduce yourselves. We're just going to keep on going. The call is being recorded, so if you missed anything, you'll be able to go back and hear it. I'm asking those of you who are on the call to stay on mute until you have something to say. We have the ability to mute everybody, but I'd rather make it possible for you to unmute whenever you're ready to talk about something. We've got a lot to cover, so if you have a question about logistics or clarifying questions about something I said that's really more logistical in nature, please email us afterwards and we'll get right back to you. I want to keep the discussion and the questions on the call today pertaining to practice building stuff specifically. The other thing I want to announce is that we have put up a blog. You have all gotten email details about it. And that's another avenue for all of us to share best practices along the way, things you're learning, things that work particularly well. So I encourage you to check in with the blog, subscribe to it if you can, contribute to it. But it's another forum where we can together be smarter than each one of us is separate. So it's another tool that INR has put together and made available to support this process. So we're going to ask you to use that, and we're going to keep on rolling. Other people will be joining if they do, and we're just going to keep talking, and they'll figure out what's going on along the way. So I've heard a lot of anecdotal feedback from various people since we were last together a month ago, describing what their single daily action is or what their process has been or what their results are. If you haven't gotten your metrics in, please do get them in. We want to track the results of this class. Everything we do is results-driven and results-focused. We want to be able to see the difference things are going to make. But what I'd like to hear from a few of you is we're a month into this six-month practice building series, and just to hear from a few of you of what's happening, what's working.
Just a reminder, star six mutes and also unmute.
Star what?
Star six. So who has, unless you have your own mute system, which is fine too. So what's been happening? What kind of results have you been producing? What have you been noticing? Don't be shy. I will call on you.
So I got a referral from one of the retreats that I went on. Someone was very lovely to refer me to somebody, and that felt good.
That's great.
Yeah, and the person was then leaving for Europe till after July 11th, so I don't know, you know, right now she came for one session and wants me to see her son. Her son is addicted to drugs, and I said I wouldn't treat my son unless he was in some other program as well. So she said he is. So I said, well, then I'd be willing to see him, but he hasn't called us yet, and I don't know what will happen. Time will tell. But it felt good to be referred that way.
That's great. Well, it actually turned out to be one, maybe two referrals. That's great. Thanks, Doris.
Right.
Well, that's a result or an update to share.
One thing I noticed is I was focusing every day, okay, what can I do for marketing? What can I do? And I, that would be kind of how I'd start my day or even the night before. Okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? So that was one of my first focus things I discovered.
Great. And did you notice anything, did you do anything differently because of it or produce anything differently because of it?
You know, I saw there were avenues out there that I hadn't been utilizing.
Mm-hmm.
Like networking groups or whatever, and I had been participating in them, but not as much as I could have in promoting myself.
Right.
And I have created a couple of new clients too since we last talked, so that's great.
That's awesome. That's terrific. And what you demonstrate is the power of the single daily action is if you had every day to do 10 things, you probably would lose motivation and might not be so interested. But if the game is you got to do one thing, that doesn't seem so hard to do. So I'm glad that it's got you thinking the day before, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow? And just knowing you have to do one thing, for many of you, a single daily action done once a day is having you do 7 more things a week towards building your practice than you were doing before. That's great. Who else has a result to share?
Well, I did something this week. I was invited to a special event, a 3-day professionals in residence for therapists at an inpatient addiction center. And they were giving lectures each day, and then they were talking a lot about EMDR. Not a lot, but they were saying that that's one of the things that they use. And whenever I hear that, why don't they know about Rubenfeld Synergy? So the next day, finally, I would never have thought of doing this. I brought my brochures and I gave them out to everybody.
Terrific.
So that I made people aware that this exists.
That's great. Very, very good. Who else has something to share?
Well, I have something else to share, but I already spoke. Does that mean I should shut up?
Yeah. There'll be other opportunities later on.
Okay.
Who else has a great result to share, or any kind of result?
Hi, it's Beth. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've been very preoccupied, but made a very sincere effort to get all new paperwork, and I'm about to go to print with everything by the end of this week, so that I will have a complete package to add to the media package that we've got in Santa Fe. So I'm really excited, and with the help of my partner, we've been talking about different practitioners that might be collaborators. So I'm really looking forward. I feel very hopeful.
Terrific. That's great. Very good. Well, I'm sure there are other results, and there'll be other places here for you guys to share things, but I want to keep moving. We're going to do a little one thing I want to say, by the way, you'll hear me be very concise and very brief. And just a reminder, it's not that I'm a rude person, which I sometimes am, but I'm conscious that we have an hour together. We've got 40 or 45 of us on the phone, and I want to make every minute as productive as possible. So if you hear me being shorter or curter than you might like, it's only because I want to get maximum value here. So don't take anything I say personally at your own peril. So we're going to do a little touch-tone voting real quickly. So everybody find the 4 key on your phone. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and this allows you to vote anonymously. So the first thing I want to find out is, for having a partner, how many people found that valuable? Hit your 4 keys. Very good. And how many people found it not valuable? Hit your 4 key. Okay, good. I expected we'd have a couple people that didn't find it valuable. If you didn't find it valuable because you didn't have a great partner, I recommend you try and find a different partner. If you didn't find it valuable because you didn't think you took care of your partner the way you should have, I recommend you step it up next time. If there's some other issue about the partnership relationship that isn't working, please be in touch with Mark or myself so we can guide you on how to make that more valuable. Second question, are you keeping your partner accountable for doing what they said they would do about practice building? If yes, press the 4 key. If you are not keeping your partner accountable, press the 4 key. Okay. We had a few more folks there that aren't doing that. So if you're not keeping your partner accountable, you have to look and see, is it because you and your partner aren't speaking, you don't like your partner is not being willing to be held accountable, or you're just slacking off on the job, but check in for yourself as to what's going on and see what you can do to fix it so that you're more productive in the coming month. And again, if your partner is not someone who holding accountable, maybe you need to switch partners, and we'll be happy to help facilitate that. Next question, is your partner keeping you accountable? Hit the 4T if the answer is yes. Pretty good. And how many people, and is your partner not keeping you accountable? Okay, that was our most no votes so far. So for those of you who are partners who are not sure about things, your partners are saying, please step it up some more and hold me accountable. So this partnership arrangement we talked about last time is an important one, and it requires that you step outside your comfort zone and really build an alliance to support each other in being successful, not support each other in staying small. So it requires regular contact. It requires calling a spade, requires having permission to do that. So take a look and see what you need to do in your partnership relationship to fix that. So who can share something about what's working about your partnership relationship? Anybody?
Yes. I think just by having a partner, we had chosen to speak on a weekly basis. Just having that really felt, for me, like being accountable.
Great. And has it caused you to produce any better, different results?
It caused me to be much more thoughtful about my daily actions and to be able to have things and say, oh, I did this, and this is what happened.
Oh, very good. Who else has something to share about their partnership relationship and how it's working?
This is Deborah. I really feel that Jeannie's been my partner, and we've been checking in 3 times a week. We've decided to do a little bit less, but what I find is that it keeps me present with what I said I was going to do, and we've really been supporting each other and also really honing in on what we would like out of our practice, because sometimes that takes some clarifying as you go along.
Sure.
And I've had a couple of new possible clients, so that's been one of the benefits.
Very good. Terrific. What's not been working about your partnership relationship? Anybody? This is one of those things, where do I say that my partner sucks, or where I throw my partner under the bus? Or is this where I cop to not doing my part of the partnership? Anybody have anything to say here? Well, we won't linger here, but a couple of things. The checking in with your partner does not need to be a lengthy process. It could be an email each day. This is what I accomplished. This was my single daily action. I got my homework done. I got a new result. It doesn't have to be an hour-long phone conversation. So more contact, even if it's short, is better than infrequent contact, because it's too easy to get off course if you only talk once a week. So use each other to really support getting where you need to get to. Let's move on to the next aspect of our homework, which was to the single daily action. So we're going to do our touch tone voting again. If you found it valuable, press the 4 key now.
What was the question?
Did you find the single daily action valuable? Okay. And how many didn't find it valuable? Okay, very good. Here's the next question. I'm going to say it very carefully, so think about that. My question is, did you do your single daily action at least 80% of the time since we last spoke? That's 4 out of 5 days. If so, it's important. If you didn't do it at least 80%, time hit the 4 key. Say about two-thirds, one-third. Isn't it kind of fun to be able to have this anonymous voting? You can kind of tell the truth on yourself without anybody knowing what a slacker you are. So in this single daily action concept, what's working about it for you guys? I'd like to hear a couple of things about what's working about single daily action.
I would say that keeping the practice building in focus and on the radar, in the consciousness.
Okay, good. And the other person who was talking at the same time?
I would say that it's gotten me to do the things that I said I was going to do a long time ago that I never did.
very good. Who else?
It keeps Rubenfeld's synergy in the foreground when I'm talking to somebody or being involved in some action, therapeutic action in some way. So when I mention it or when people ask about it, I think, oh, I've done my single daily action.
Very good. What's been the most successful daily action for anybody?
I would say the most successful daily action for me, not that it's necessarily, resulted in a client on the spot, but it's getting known in my community, getting Rubenfeld Synergy known and getting myself known as a Rubenfeld Synergist known in the community when I talk about it, when I tell people what I do and what Rubenfeld Synergy is.
Very good. What else has been a successful daily action for any of you?
I've offered some free sessions to people. And as a result, I've got about 50% success in having clients. I offer them a free session, telling them the value of what it's worth, and asking them to refer people if they found it was beneficial to them. And it's been actually fabulous.
Oh, that's great. Who else has a single daily action that's working for them?
I've been trying on different one-line sort of taglines for size.
Right.
And I found one that absolutely fits.
That's great. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, so I'm glad you were working on that. That's terrific. Any other single daily actions that are working well for anybody?
I put up flyers in various stores where they could tear off my phone number. And I did get a couple of, responses. I did not, though, get a client from that as yet, but it felt good to get a response to the flyer that's hanging, like, on a bulletin board in a supermarket or a cleaner's store.
Great.
From a diner. I put it on a bulletin board at a diner restaurant.
Very good. And one more. Anybody else?
I have two things. One is I gave a presentation and a free presentation at the library, and then I also found no results yet, but I see the networking starting to happen because I did have lunch with someone, as was suggested at the last telecourse, to ask her to refer me to other people, and I see that starting to work. So,
that's great. Very good. And remember, we're just starting and ramping up your marketing efforts, so it's terrific that you guys have already had results, and those results will build as you keep going consistently. One of the requests I have is if you'll send in what your daily actions have been, we will compile them and post that on the blog in a few days' time so everybody can see all the various single daily actions that are being done, and perhaps they'll get an idea of something that would be valuable for them. So that's another way we can use the blog. So send in your single daily action, and we'll get them compiled. So let's move on to tonight's topic, which is I want to talk a little bit about we're creating opportunities and occasions to talk to people about Rubenfeld. But the question is, when you do have that occasion, what do you say? Some people are real comfortable at it. One of the people we just heard from has been working on her sort of elevator pitch or one-sentence explanation. But one of the things that gets in the way of building practice is people aren't sure what to say when they are getting into a conversation with somebody about what they do. And there's things that are more productive to say and things that are less productive to say. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how people talk about Rubenfeld, and we're going to talk about it, discuss it some. I may have some comments so that we can start, you can start hearing from each other how people talk about Rubenfeld so we can figure out the most effective ways to get a conversation going. Now, I'll give you a couple pointers and tips right from the very beginning. When I first started teaching coaching in Japan, and we had all these new coaches and they were eager to build a practice, they were asking the same questions you guys are. Well, how do we build coaching practice in Japan? No one's ever heard of coaching. So my first question to them was, when you meet somebody on the street or at a party or wherever, and they ask, what do you do? What do you say? And many of these people had other jobs, other careers, other things they were doing, and it didn't even occur to them that the most useful answer would be to say, I'm a coach. So they would say, I'm a homemaker, or I'm an architect, or I'm a dog catcher, or whatever it was. And I said, answering the question that way doesn't get you anything, because you're not looking to build your architecture practice. You're looking to become a more successful coach. So I said, the first thing you've got to do when people ask, what do? Is you have to say, I'm a coach. Now, in Japan at that time, that was a very new concept. So it created a reason for someone to say, gee, I don't know what that is, or can you tell me more? And that's what you want to have happen after that first sentence, is you want some engagement. You want the person to want to talk more about it or be curious about it, because then you can start talking and explaining what it is you do and get the person into a conversation. And we'll talk later about what you do once you get further into the conversation, but the key is you want to be intriguing enough to have somebody want to keep talking to you. So I'd like to hear from a few of you now. When someone says, gee, what do? What do you currently say? Wow.
Nothing. I say I'm a body-mind therapist.
Okay, you're a body-mind therapist. Okay, good. Who else?
I say I'm a synergist. I find the word Rubenfeld distracting to my people, so I say I'm a synergist.
Okay. Who else?
I'm beginning to say I'm an integrative practitioner.
Okay. Good. Well.
Is there a lot of static on the phone for everybody else, or is that my phone?
The line's very clear.
The line
static
is very
clear. Too.
It feels like I can hear people like washing dishes in the background or something. It just seems like there's so much noise, but nobody else hears that?
No, it's very quiet.
I hear it too.
I hear the noise.
Yeah,
I hear it too.
I just hear a lot of noise. It's hard
yeah,
to get
I hear it also. I hear something.
Okay, are you ready? Stop. We can't spend the next hour talking about the noise on the line. Is there noise currently happening right now?
Not while you're talking, but
okay,
suddenly when someone else talks sometimes, it's like some kind of a peculiar sound on their words as they speak.
Okay, well, let's keep going and we'll see what happens. So so who else can talk about how they talk about Rubenfeld?
I find the most important thing after I tell them I'm a mind-body worker and I'm on a massage table, I work with people on a massage table, is that release of tension, as well as helping people with psychological problems if they so desire. That release of tension seems to get people. Everyone seems to be, you know, so stressed out all the time.
Okay.
I found that that's probably one of the best expressions.
Very good. Who else?
Well, I often mention that I do a type of mind-body therapy that facilitates emotional release and emotional expression from emotions that are stored in the body.
Okay. Do you find that people are interested in that?
Yeah, they get interested.
Okay,
like,
good.
How does that work? Or do you do regular massage? They start to ask some questions.
Perfect. Who was the person who before whose single daily action was trying out different ways to talk about what she does?
That was me.
And what did you decide was the best?
What my new way of expressing will be helping you find peace inside yourself.
And have you tested it out with other people?
I have. It only came yesterday, and I've only tried it once today. And then the question was, how do you do that?
Did you repeat that?
Can you say it one more time?
My new way of saying it will be helping you find peace inside yourself.
Yes.
Peace.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have something they want to share in this category?
I often say things like our history is stored in our bodies, and sometimes ways of being that we used in the past to help us through whatever we went through don't need to be there anymore. They don't need to be used anymore, and there are opportunities to release them and find new ways to deal with life.
Okay, very nice. So a couple of things. One, you want to have something that works for you, that comes out of your mouth comfortably, and that brings more engagement from the conversation. I like the concept of saying I'm a synergist because most people have no idea what that is. And it sounds magical and cool and probably valuable, and I should probably learn more. So that sounds like for sure one of the ones that will definitely get a conversation going. And many of them, the key test is, does it get someone talking and asking questions? Now, the next piece of it I want to talk about, though, is what people are willing to spend money on. Because there's a distinction oftentimes between what we as practitioners think is important for people and what people we know get out of our work, and there's a distinction between that. So in my practice, coaching people, and I think many of you who I've talked to have had the same experience, that what initially is not what we've ended up doing. And that happens probably 8 out of 10 times. So that's something to be aware of, that there's a distinction between that. The other piece of the equation is that people are willing to buy things that are further down Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So food, shelter, survival, things like that. And particularly in an economy like this, I found that my offers have to be more focused on things that people really need as opposed to things that people think are a luxury or that they think are really important to them. So that's something else that you want to think about when you're talking about what you do for people. The benefits have to be something that people are really willing to pay for, that's important to them today, because there's a lot of benefits that coaches or therapists or body workers or massage therapists or mind-body therapists, in that whole category, there's a whole boatload of value we can bring for people, but a lot of it sounds optional, not necessary for my life today. And if it's not that, if it's optional, it's going to be harder for me to say yes. So I'll give you another example of languaging something that gets fairly far down Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If I was a sex therapist and someone said, what do I do? What my answer would be is I help couples have more and better sex. And the cool thing about that is it communicates clearly and exactly something that most people want. And they intrinsically can taste it, feel it, know what that means, and can easily decide whether or not that's important to them, and it probably is. Now, the truth about it is, as you all know, because you are in the mind realm of things, is my work is going to be less about frequency and less about technique and more about what the quality of their relationships are. So this is a distinction I think that's important for RSM synergists as well. There's a lot of stuff that we do that's part of our process, but that people find very valuable, but it's not something they're hiring us for to begin with. So you want to make that distinction between what is it that people really are going to pay for, which is different than what you ultimately do. So when you're engaging people in a conversation about this and they say, and you say, I'm a synergist or I help people find peace or whatever your phrase is, and they say, well, tell me more, how do you do that? The more you can talk about how you do that in terms of important results they're going to get, and less about, well, you're on a table and I use my hands and I talk to you, and they don't really care that much about the process. They care more importantly about the result. So you want to be mindful of how much of your conversation is technically about the process or your credentials or how you were trained, as opposed to what is the result that would be important that they could experience in their life that would make it important for them to come spend time with you right away. Because you also want to have people compelled to come see you tomorrow, not think about it and someday maybe 100 years from now, who is that person? What was she talking about? Why should I go see them? So you want to have people interested right away. So if you're talking to a sex therapist and you're not having much sex and the sex therapist says, gee, I've helped people get more and better sex, I could see myself going to see them immediately if that's something that's important to me. So that's a little bit about how you want to language what you're doing in a way, because we not only want to be talking about what we do and creating more occasions, but we want to talk about it in a way that's powerful, that has people say, I need to come see you today. Do you have any time? So any
I'm wondering if
comments about that. Yeah.
Yeah, if you'd be willing to give an example of how you might describe Rubenfeld synergy with that in mind.
I'll get to that in a minute. I'm curious
okay.
to hear how some of you would say it based on what I'm just saying.
Okay.
So who has an example or a thought about that?
Well, I did an introductory at a networking meeting last week, and I started off by saying, how many of you experience stress in your life or know of anybody that's experiencing stress? And then I want to say, if there was a way for you to reduce stress in your life, you'd like to know about it, wouldn't you? And then I carried on a little bit as to explaining what Rubenfeld is about.
Right. But it sounds like you focused more on stress and upfront implicitly stated that everything you're going to talk about was about relieving stress and didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about how you do it, correct?
Right.
Yep. Very good. And the thing you can do to make that more powerful is one of the things that happens for people is there's an attitude, yeah, I've got stress, we've all got stress, life is stressful. So there's sometimes an air of resignation, like I can't do anything about it. And what you can start doing is you can start letting people know, actually, you can do a lot about it very quickly. And the work I do with people helps them relieve stress very quickly. And the benefits of having less stress in your life are, and whatever those are, longer lifespan, better sleeping, you know, whatever. So you need to sometimes take the less stress and make it clear what those benefits are for people as well. Very good. Who else has an example?
I have one. What would it be like if you were to feel deeply at home in your own skin?
And how does that work for people? What are people's reaction when you say that?
People on the phone in my life.
Excuse me?
People on the phone or people in my life?
When you say it to other people, and what has been the response from people when you say that?
Silence, a look of confusion, and then curiosity.
Okay. And does the curiosity generally turn into a compelling conversation that has them in your practice?
I'm just trying it out. I don't know.
Just so you know, for me, being at home in my own skin sounds like a cool idea, but it
mm-hmm.
sounds highly optional and probably a luxury I can't afford in this economy.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
And just so you know, most folks that are body-mind workers or coaches will generally have those kinds of benefits, because we know how valuable it is to feel comfortable in your own skin. But from the person who's not comfortable in their own skin, has never been comfortable in their own skin, and has no idea what that would actually feel like, it sounds like, yeah, that could be cool, but probably I'm never going to get there. So just be careful with those, because they're a little too high up on the scale of Maslow. They're interesting, but not dynamic. Who else has an example?
I think that
I
the great.
I,
okay.
Go ahead.
Who goes ahead?
The other person, Dora.
I was talking to somebody who had sore knees from gardening,
mm-hmm.
and just struck up a conversation at a bus stop, and she said that she was having a lot of trouble walking because of her sore knees. So I said to her, "Well, why don't you come see me? I could probably do something to change that." And I happen to have time tomorrow at 11. Here's my card. And she said, great. And that was it. It was very simple.
That's great. Actually. Now, when she came to see you, you probably worked on her knees right away, correct?
No, I didn't work on her knees right away.
What did you do?
Eventually work on her knees.
Right, but when she was there, she was open to the full range of what you had to give, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think if you had come up to her and said, I can help you deal with all these historical things that are trapped in your body, why don't you come see me at 11, she would have looked at you like you had two holes in your head.
Yeah.
But when you were responding something that was deeply, directly connected to something she needs today, it connected and engaged with her right away. And the minute she was on your table, you were working on a whole gamut of stuff.
Yeah.
And she was thrilled to be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the things that you guys are dealing with is consumer behavior and what gets people to say yes. And what gets people to say yes is very different than oftentimes what it is you think you do. And we forget that consumers are very predictable folks. You know, it drives you crazy, I'm sure, when you see something advertised, it's $9.95. You say to yourself, no, that's $10. Come on. And you would say, by now, everybody must know when they see it's $9.95 that it's really $10, so why do people keep doing it? Well, they keep doing it because it works. More stuff sells at $9.95 than at $10. It's just the way we're wired. So you want to be really attuned to consumer behavior and talking in a way that connects with where people are at right now. Doris, what's your example?
Yeah. I found at times greater clarity with decisions that they have to make in their life. There's so many people that tell me, I'm so confused. I don't know what to do with a career, and I don't know this guy in my life. Maybe I should just let him go already. You know, he wants to get married, and I don't think I'm ready for this. So I find that people get very interested when you're helping them with the idea of making a proper decision that's right for them.
Very good. And again, it's addressing something that they're saying. So if you're talking to somebody and they're saying they're so confused, and you say, you know, in my work, I help people get clarity very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, how do you do that? Who's got another example? This is great.
Well, I talk about that I do counseling, and I do a unique process that adds to the opening up and to improving relationships. But they're calling me for counseling very often.
Ah, very good.
And then they
so
get intrigued by, well, what is that process that you do?
Right. So there's a way you might want to, I'm going to suggest a language tweak for you. When they're talking to you, I would say, in addition to all the counseling you're going to be expecting, I have a special process that accelerates the results that I can provide for you.
Thank you.
Everybody wants it more, better, faster, cheaper. So if you can, because of your synergy work, provide something better, faster, cheaper, or more of, you're likely to get people's interest. Anybody else have another example?
I offered a free session to somebody I know in town who has multiple sclerosis and has been having a lot of trouble with her balance and walking.
Mm-hmm.
And she came for one session and said it really made a difference, and she was for a couple of days really able to walk more easily and work at her job more easily, and she's decided to come regularly. But I didn't go into detail about the process that I do. I just said, and try a session.
Mm-hmm.
And she
did. If you spend too much time in getting into the process, it creates more questions.
Right.
And if it creates more questions, it gives people more reasons to say no. So,
but once she's had the experience, and sometimes, you know, for her, it was a little risky because she's been in physical therapy. Nothing has helped.
Yep.
And I said, look, if it doesn't help, you'll know. But if it's helpful to you, you know, why don't you come and try? So I don't often offer free sessions, but it worked out really well.
Yeah, and what you did there was you said, I can take all the risk away. I think I have something that'll help you. Let's try it. If it doesn't
mm-hmm.
work, no harm, no foul. And if it does work, you've got a new tool.
Right.
If you're at the ice cream shop and they have this cool new flavor that you're not sure it sounds right, you know, cherry macadamia nut daiquiri surprise. Well, it could taste great or it could taste terrible. Well, if you only eat one ice cream cone a week, you don't want to order the one ice cream cone of that and have decided you don't like it. But if you can get a sample and taste it and like it, you're more likely to buy it. That's why Baskin-Robbins today still has those pink spoons in their stores, and you can go in and try any flavor you want or as many flavors as you want. Not because they think it's a cool thing to do. They've discovered they sell more ice cream that way. Who else has an example? These are great. The other half of the group's being shy. Very good. Well, here's your homework for this piece of it for next week, which is to start fine-tuning how you talk about your practice and work on it with your partner. Because what you want to do with your partner is make sure that it's something that creates a conversation, that's compelling, that's something people would buy right now, that's important to them. And use your partner to go back and forth to see what works. And then as you get one that you like, start testing it out with people and start seeing which things work and which things don't. The other thing we can learn from the marketing world and consumer behavior world is when marketers are doing something, they test all the time. If they're doing a new direct mail piece or a new TV ad, they might run it in two different markets and see which one gets better response. Because what they sometimes think works doesn't work and vice versa. So don't be afraid to test stuff. See what works. You can be provocative. You can be intriguing. You can be bold. And if it ends up offending somebody, you ratchet it back and shift it. So use this month to really work through how you talk about what you do as a synergist and really get good at it and really figure out what is the combination of words, phrases, sentence length, style, speaking to specific needs and benefits. Figure out what's the best combination that's comfortable for you so that it just comes out of your mouth just like you're talking about your children. That's the first piece of homework for next week, is to really start fine-tuning and honing in on what you say when people ask what you do and have that whole conversation.
I wanted to say something because I find there are different audiences.
Yes.
And I end up in audiences sometimes with a lot of networking where the people do want to know more because I'm in with other healers and body workers and this and that. So then, to me, I would have to have a second set of language for people who actually know what this is about and who are looking for personal growth, as opposed to the, what you were talking about, the public, where they, where they're on the Maslow need scale. So to me, maybe I need two sets.
Yes, and be careful that the folks that are already in that first group you were talking about,
right,
don't underestimate the need to have them understand about faster, better, this and that. It's just they may be tuned in differently. So whatever they're already doing and accomplishing, if you can talk about what you do as a way to get them there faster, more deeply, more impactfully, look for ways to communicate what you do that accentuates what they're already up to in a way that accelerates what they're doing.
Okay.
Because that'll be, because you still have to, otherwise it'll become an interesting conversation like discussing a couple classic cars that you're never likely to own. It's an interesting dialogue between two practitioners that care a lot about what they're doing, but it's not having another person be in your practice. So you're right, you do need to customize your message to the people in that different group, but in a way that still has them say, wow, I got to get to see you right away. When can I come?
Okay.
Any questions about this segment that we've covered or the homework from this piece?
I have a question for you. I'm wondering if this is what I usually do when I give out my brochure to somebody, is that I tend to say, you know, it's for yourself, or if you have a relative or friend that might need some help in this area. I usually have that part of the sentence. I'm wondering, do you think that's effective? Is that good? I just felt that if the person is thinking to themselves, who needs this work, you know, but if they then think about a friend that might need it, so, you know, they put the brochure in their purse or whatever.
It's possible. I found that what I want to generally do is I want to get the person talking about themselves as quickly as I can in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've said that what I do is help people relieve a lot of stress, I fairly quickly want to say, how stressful is your life?
Oh, I see. Oh,
because
okay.
Because if I can get them talking about themselves,
right,
we can then, I can actually do a little Rubenfeld right with them right then and there, and
mm-hmm.
have them start experiencing the gift that I have to give.
Right.
And then I can, once they start experiencing that and they can see, wow, this is an insightful communicator who can really understand what I'm up to and speak into my issues, I'm even more interested in talking to you further. But if it's, this is for, you know, this, you know, might be for yourself or whatever else, it sounds too optional.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I try and deepen the conversation as quickly as I can.
Right.
And
okay, thank
it,
you.
And again, and what I'm doing is I want to have, the more they talk about themselves, the more places I can see where I can be helpful and impact them. The more I'm talking about what I do in the process, the more boring it is, and it's not really accelerating the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any other questions about this segment?
David, did you say you were going to tell us how you would describe Rubenfeld Synergy? I'm very interested in someone who's not a Rubenfeld Synergist who's on this call.
I said I would.
I thought you said you'd get to that later.
Yeah, I'm still not sure. I don't have a good one yet, so I'm not quite ready to say it. When I do, I will give you guys a good one. Any other questions about this segment?
If you say you'll have sex more often, that might help too.
Yes. You guys can, if you can accomplish that, then you should let people know that's what you do. Absolutely. I promise you, you'll get people's attention.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to our last mini segment of the call, which is another piece I want you to work on for next week, which is I want, now that you're getting in the habit, most of you, of the single daily action, I want you to start thinking about how do you amp up the leverage of your single daily action. So now that you're getting used to getting in the habit of doing something regularly, is there something you could be picking that you still like to do, you still will do, but might have a greater leverage effect, that might have more results, might be more impactful? So start saying, and not necessarily every day, but, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, is there something, is there a single daily action that would be more powerful? The other thing that you got to keep thinking about that's part of the single daily action thing is we want to make the right thing easy. So you want to keep thinking about what are the ways that you come in contact with people that will allow you to keep expressing and talking about what you do, and what are those venues that you like doing. So if you like to play golf, are you playing golf in a way where you're meeting lots of new people, or are you playing with the same people every day or every week? If you like to cook, are you cooking in a way that attracts more people into your circle that you can talk about? If you like to sew, are you sewing with new people? Are you leading classes? Are you meeting with the sewing group at the sewing center? If you like to whatever. So you want to keep looking for what are the things that you love doing anyway, and how do you marry them with being with more people where you have an occasion to talk about what you're doing? Because remember, I told you I didn't want to make you guys into cold-calling salespeople who every day had to strap on their suit and go out and find some new clients, and if you don't, you can get any supper. That won't be any fun, and it's not sustainable, and it's not a great way to build a practice. We've got to find a way to build a practice that has you doing what you love to do, what's fun and easy to do, and will have you keep doing it. So that's what I mean when I say making the right thing easy. So if every day you had to get up and make two cold calls, you would be dreading that. So that's making the right thing hard. So we don't want to do that. So you want to focus this month, on amping up your single daily action to something that's even more powerful, looking for ways to make the right thing easy, and having some of those single daily actions put you in contact with more people, but in ways you love. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any questions about that? Very good. So we're going to send out all the homework in the summary and email. So if you missed any piece of it, you'll get an email with all the details.
Can I add something to ask people to please comment on the blog about what we're talking about tonight?
Yep.
And whatever.
How do you get to the blog?
We'll include the address in the email again.
Okay, so it'll be right through the computer situation.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yep. We'll include all the information. So make sure that you – so reminders, send in what your most effective single daily actions are so we can compile them and share that on the blog. Use the blog. Comment under people's posts. Make that a vibrant discussion. Ramp up your partnership relationships. If they're a little saggy or not as strong as you'd like them to be, shore them up. Keep each other accountable. Hold yourself to a higher standard. Make sure you do your homework over the next month. And I'm looking forward to hearing great results. I'm really impressed with the results you guys have already achieved. If you keep up with what you're doing, keep the momentum going and don't let it flag, and start integrating marketing as just a regular part of your routine. The goals that you all have laid out in your goal emails and metric emails are very attainable. And together, we are going to make RSM viable in the world, and something that all your training and hard work will make a big contribution to other folks. So it's been another great call. I appreciate your time and attention and thoughtful contributions. If you didn't contribute this time, I hope you will next time. And if you have any questions, as always, shoot me an email, and I'm happy to get back to you. Thank you so much, and have a great month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you.